Welcome back, and yes, it is Friday Fusion, and this is the program Friday Fusion, and you are with me, Zakira and Sirmia, for the rest of the hour. My engineer tells me that there's a scary thunderstorm that's happening in Indonesia at the moment, so I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you all safe. And really, wherever in the world you are, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep you all safe. May you all, enjoy this Friday as it is the day of Jumu'ah. And as the anasheed that play out in the beginning of the program suggests, it is a day that we should increase in our durood and salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, subhanAllah, I think it was about 3 months ago that we started our discussion on Surah Yusuf on this program. And since then, it really has been a journey. We've discussed so many topics from this beautiful surah, namely sibling rivalry, right at the beginning of the program, where we spoke about how Yaqub alayhi salam, how he spoke to his son so beautifully, telling him, don't narrate your dream to your brothers. And, you know, this is a way as parents that we need to keep our children from antagonizing one another. And it really is very beautiful after that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then explains how, despite Yaqub alayhi salam knowing what his sons were capable of, when they came and they told him that a wolf had eaten his beloved Yusuf, he then said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. He then, you know, placed his entire trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and told them that, you know, whatever you are planning and whatever it is that you've been plotting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing of that. So really, you know, there's nothing much that I can do about it now. We'll just leave it in the hands of Allah. And like that, we then moved on and we then spoke about how the wife of the Aziz, Zulaykha, she became infatuated with Yusuf alayhi salam. And again, we saw the resilience of a Nabi and the way he's noble character stood out, where he spoke to her and he said, you know what, I cannot do this. I cannot do this to my Allah, neither can I do this to the man who has very kindly made me his guest in his home, meaning the Aziz. And because he rebuffed her and he repelled her, she then made a plan and a plot of telling her husband that he had, well, he was trying to seduce her. But again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to the aid of Yusuf alayhi salam, and this matter was very quickly cleared up. We then spoke about emotional infidelity and how, what impact this must have had on the Aziz, and why his reaction was not as, you know, we would have thought he would have had a much more serious reaction to what happened, but his reaction was a little more subdued. And then we spoke about why this may have been the case. Then we spoke about the Aziz's wife. She was now in a predicament. The people of the city were speaking about how she could have seduced a young boy who was in her care. And she then immediately prepared a banquet, called them all over, and she wanted them to see how they would deal with the handsomeness and the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And when this came to the fore, they even had to say, Akbarna, the Quran says, you know, they even had to admit that, wow, this guy was totally handsome. So, you know, they ended up chopping off their fingers and all the rest of that. And now we moved on into the part of the discussion where Yusuf alayhi salam was doing his job as a Nabi. As we know, each Nabi had the task of passing on this message of, wahdaniya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people they were sent to. And like this, Yusuf alayhi salam then also preached the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to men entered the prison with him, and he then spoke to these men about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why they shouldn't be worshipping their many gods and why they should worship Allah alone. And like this, he then also ended up interpreting their dreams. One of them was then had then become the cupbearer of the king. Yusuf alayhi salam reminding him that he should please remember Yusuf alayhi salam in the king's presence. In other words, mention that Yusuf alayhi salam was here languishing in prison and try and get him out. he forgot that this was again all the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many years later, when the king had a dream and the dream needed to be interpreted, here was it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this kafirah remember that there was a man that had once interpreted his dream. And like this kafirah then came back for Yusuf alayhi salam in the prison. Yusuf alayhi salam then interpreted the dream in such a manner that the king was absolutely astounded and knew that this could only be the interpretation of a man of great intelligence. And because of this, he then asked Yusuf alayhi salam to become part of his courtiers in the palace. And in fact, not only that, but he even made Yusuf alayhi salam his minister over the wealth of the kingdom. So he was like the minister of finance, if you could put it that way. And then Yusuf alayhi salam was given this task of taking care of the finances of Misr and Egypt. And Yusuf alayhi salam very astutely took care of this, because remember when we spoke about this, we said that for 7 years Misr and Egypt was going to reap a bumper harvest, and 7 years later they were going to suffer from this drought. So when they were going to suffer from the drought, the way that they were going to deal with it was that they were going to keep aside a portion of the bumper harvest and use it in the time when the drought took place. And like this, Yusuf alayhi salam took care of the grain of the land very well, and kept it, stored away in the storehouses for when it would be needed. And like this, when it did come to the time of drought, people from all over the land came to the king to then ask him to be kind to them, to be generous to them. Some came with money, others didn't even have any money. But the few coins, the bida'ah, as the Quran says, a few coins that they managed, they came with these. And like this, they then wanted to have a little bit of grain so that they wouldn't suffer starvation and hunger. Yusuf alayhi salam then met his brothers, and this was again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great plan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that this was going to be the means of how Yusuf alayhi salam was going to meet his brother. Not only one brother, but all his brothers. And when they came to him, they obviously didn't recognize him. He was now, the minister of finance in the king's palace. Again, this was a means of consolation for Yusuf alayhi salam. After all that he has gone through in prison, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now given him such a reputable place in society. But the brothers obviously weren't expecting to find a brother that they had thrown in a well, like perhaps a decade ago, or even more than that. So when they looked at him, they just saw him as a minister to the king, and they asked him to be kind to them, and they asked him to give them some grain. When Yusuf alayhi salam then asked him to bring along with them their brother, immediately they said, "Oh, you know, that brother, he's very beloved to our father, and we don't know if we'll manage to do this, but anyway, we'll ask our father." Coming back, they then asked their father if they could take in with them. And again, we see a Nabi with such foresight and such insight that even though his sons had did things that were bad to him in the past, and things would, someone could say that why would he want to send another son with them? But again, this was how this Nabi was. His heart was so magnanimous that these were his children after all. So when they came and they asked if they could take their brother with them, he allowed them to take their brother with them, but he made them make a promise that they would not let anything happen to him. And he also, because his sons were so happy, because his sons were so handsome, he made them make a promise that they would not all enter the palace of the Aziz all at once, but they would enter slowly, portion at a time, from different doors, so that nobody's bad nether would fall upon them. Yusuf alayhi salam then finally got to meet his brother Binyamin, and I spoke about, you know, what it must have been to see his brother, his little brother, who was from the same mother as he was, and how it must have been for them to have this reunion between them, how exciting it must have been, and how he must have felt about this and all of that. And at this point, we said that now Yusuf alayhi salam was trying to find a reason how he could keep his little brother with him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him some inspiration and told him to then take his brother take a goblet of his, a vessel, drinking vessel of his, and place it into the luggage of his brother. And in that time, in their Sharia, the ruling was that if anyone stole from you, you were allowed to keep them in your custody, in your company, until you extracted whatever service from them you wished. So you were allowed to keep them as your prisoner for a period of time, and then you would then have to release them or return them. So Yusuf alayhi salam then did this. He kept, or at least he placed the goblet in his brother's bag. And when it came to the muadzin, the announcer, announcing that something was missing, the brothers then happened to mention something that really distressed and made Yusuf alayhi salam feel very, very sad. They said, oh, you know, if he did this and if he stole, then he's taken after his brother, because his brother was someone who used to steal in the past as well. And then we went down the whole explanation of why they were saying this and how they had, you know, come to the conclusion that Yusuf alayhi salam had stolen, when this was actually a false accusation. But nevertheless, the point that we made here also was, imagine Yusuf alayhi salam's level of sabr. Hearing his brother speak all these evil and bad things about him, and he was just sitting there listening to them, unable to now tell them who he really was, because he still, there was one more part, you know, that still needed to follow. He still needed to get his parents over here. So when he, when they returned, Yaqub alayhi salam was now almost blind with sadness of crying over his sons. And because now it was not only Yusuf alayhi salam and Binyamin, but one of the eldest brothers, some say his name was Yehuda, he also said that no, he was not going to return, because he had taken this pledge and promise with his father, and he didn't see himself going back without his younger brother. So he said he was not going to go back. So if they wanted to go back, they should return. So now it was not that Yaqub alayhi salam was just missing one son, just three of them that were gone. So Yaqub alayhi salam was very, very saddened by this. And the Quran speaks about وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ, his vision was almost gone because of his weeping and weeping and weeping consistently like this, constantly for his children that were now lost. So he sent back the remainder of his sons and he said to them, go and fetch your brothers and come back. Go and search the land. Do whatever it takes you, but ensure that you come back with your brothers and you don't come back without them. When Yaqub alayhi salam sent his brothers, sent his sons like this, Yusuf alayhi salam was then, you know, he had come to a point now where he felt it was time to tell them the truth, and it was time for him to get his father to come to him. So he said to them, I am Yusuf and you are my brothers. They were absolutely shocked. They said, what? You are Yusuf? Oh, please, please, do have mercy on us. Please forgive us. Don't be harsh on us. And Yusuf alayhi salam said what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said at the time of Fath Makkah, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfiru Allahu lakum. That, you know what? Today there is no retribution. Today I won't take any retribution against you, because really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who forgives. So I urge you that you seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. He then sent them with a shirt of his and told them that they should go back to Yaqub alayhi salam, and by placing the shirt upon the you know, rubbing it against Yaqub alayhi salam's face, it would bring back his eyesight. And this was, you know, he said that the fact that the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam was in the shirt would just revive his spirits and he would then regain his eyesight. And here Mufti Kamaluddin Hafizahullah makes an absolutely brilliant point where he speaks about how the eyesight of Yaqub alayhi salam was returned. He says that imagine if with tactile something, you know, like placing a shirt on this father's eyes could return his eyesight. The basira of people today, the spiritual insight of people today, how about if we return to the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of our libas? Would the basira and spiritual insight of people, of the munafiqoon, of the, you know, those who are within our midst claiming to be Muslim but yet speak ill of the Islamic dressing and speak ill of our sisters donning the hijab and the niqab, would their eyesight, spiritual insight not be returned? And he says, yes, of course, definitely. So this is the barakah of the sunnah libas, he says, and people who are going through whatever difficulty, even if you may have within your midst those modernists who may, you know, be against the Islamic dressing, etc., he says, go on dressing in this manner Islamically, because there will definitely come a time where the basira and the insight of these people will be returned. We then moved on and we said Yaqub alayhi salam and his wife and the rest of the sons all returned to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam then said, oh my father, this was the meaning of the dream. This was what the meaning of that dream that I had so many years ago really was. And he put his father and his mother on the throne and the rest of the sons bowed down. And this was a sajda to shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that after many years of all the difficulty of the whisperings of shaitan that had kept a family apart, finally this family was reunited. So this was a sajda to shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that these brothers then made, and Yaqub alayhi salam and his family were then reunited. That brings us to a close of this surah, Surah Yusuf. And today we are actually going to, alright, I think it's time for us to go for an ad break. Let's go for that ad break. When we return, inshallah, we will then conclude today's discussion on Surah Yusuf, which will actually be our last discussion, inshallah. Today we are wrapping up on our discussion on Surah Yusuf. Before the ad break, I was doing a recap mostly of the highlights in the surah. It would be impossible for us to go through the entire surah line by line, that is, in one program, but I was going through mostly the highlights of the surah. And today we have come to the very end part of the surah, and we're going to start where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, and he says how Yusuf alayhi salam said that, oh my father, this is the interpretation of my dream before, like I said before the outbreak. And now Yusuf alayhi salam says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي, Allah has really been kind to me, إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السَّجْنِ, because he took me out of prison, وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِنَ الْبَدْوِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you, I'm in the city, you are in the village, you are in the, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you to me after shaitan has whispered between us and caused a lot of friction between me and my brothers. Inna Rabbi latifun lima yasha, indeed Allah is latif, he's full of lutf and he's full of kindness and mercy to whomsoever he wishes. Innahu alimun hakim, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and he's all-wise. All-knowing and all-wise, because now indeed Yusuf alayhi salam rather was looking back and he was thinking, subhanallah, all these difficulties that he went through, these were all things that taught him many, many lessons. This perseverance that he had brought about within him the qualities of taqwa, haya, sabr, all these types of things. But here he was expressing his sheer gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And really, if we also wish to express our gratitude to Allah, it's a beautiful way of saying it. Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk wa 'allamtani min ta'wil al-ahadith fatir as-samawati wal-ard anta waliyyi fi ad-dunya wal-akhirah tawaffani muslima walhiqni bis-salihin. He said, Rabbi, oh my Lord, qad ataytani min al-mulk, you have given me this entire kingdom, because now he had become part of the Aziz's, he's become part of the king's palace, right? وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِنْ تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, and you have taught me the interpretation of dreams. You are فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, you are the one who has put together and who has created the heavens and the earth, the فَاطِرَ of it, the one who ensures that every cloud is in its place and every drop of rain that falls from the sky is known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every mountain that is pegged down on earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is keeping it down, because indeed when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, the same mountains will become, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Qari'ah, the mountains will become kali'ahni al-manfush, like balls of cotton wool, and they will be flying around. So he was taking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's great names to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, Anta wali, you are my guardian, O Allah. You have been my protector, O Allah, in this worldly life, wal akhirah. And you will be my guardian, and you will be my protector on the day of Qiyamah in the akhirah. Tawaffani muslima, O Allah, allow me to die as a Muslim. Walhiqli bis salihin, and allow me to be raised amongst the pious. This is a dua that we should be making as Muslims. We should be making this every single day, because none of us know whether we will be given a death with Iman. So death with Iman is something that we should make dua for on a daily basis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ. This is news, or these are stories from the unseen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is nuhihi ilayk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enlightening you about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing you about these stories. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ. And you were not present among them when they gathered together to discuss their matters, وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ, and while they were planning. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you weren't there. So that's why, O Nabi, we are telling you about this, but we are also telling you about this because, like the kuffar of Makkah, plotting and planning against you, and it's making you very, very sad. Oh my Nabi, don't let it sadden you, because just like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam plotted and planned against him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out a beautiful outcome at the end. Similarly, even though they sit within you, in your ranks, and then afterwards, you know, they pull away and they go back to their people and they speak and they know exactly what you're planning then, and you know, that's how they seem to have the upper hand over you. Don't feel bad about all this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always have the end result will always be with Allah. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And it is not something that most people are, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ, and most of mankind will not believe. وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Even though you may have this talab, this desire, this thirst within you that the entire of mankind become Muslim. And subhanAllah, this is something that we should take up. This was a real worry and concern of our Nabi. So this is something that should become our worry and concern also. How my neighbor will become Muslim, how my domestic worker will become Muslim, how those around me that I interact with on a daily basis, my co-worker, my whoever it may be that we interact with on a daily basis, my customer, my employer, my employee, how can I have an impact on them so that they can see my beauty of my Islam and they can change their religion and become Muslim as well? And the only way we can do this is by adopting the akhlaq of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalki kullihimi jazallahu anna Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. You know, when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that there were so many incidents that speak of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not having done anything, but simply by his character and by his actions, people came in droves into the fold of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And no, you are asking them for no reward. This Quran, it is no less a reminder for the people of the world. So this Quran, it is something that has not only come for the Muslims, this Quran has come for one and all. So let us take this message of the Quran and spread it to those who don't know about this Quran. Let us let them know that our Quran speaks of peace. Our Quran speaks of brotherhood. Our Quran speaks of unity. Let us show them in our actions what our Quran speaks about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. Allah says, and how many are signs in the heavens and the earth that pass you by day and night while they are يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. So these people, these signs are passing them day and night. Don't they see the sun rising every morning? Don't they see the sun setting every evening? Don't they see that after night comes day? Don't they see how Allah sends the rain down from the skies? So if all these things are from Allah's signs, why is it that they are mu'aridun? Allah says, why is it that they pass the signs of Allah while they are ignorant of this fact? وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ. Allah says, and the reason that many of them don't believe in Allah is nothing except that they wish to attribute partners unto Him. So they have no gripe per se to believe in Allah, but they do want to believe in Him with their gods as well. And na'udhu billah, this will never be possible, ever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never accept this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's might and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's jalal and kamal is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complete, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anyone to help Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply says, kun fayakun, be, and it comes into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do they then feel secure from the coming against them of أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ. Do they feel safe that if one of a غَاشِيَةٌ, a disaster from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ, a disaster from the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to come upon them, أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةٌ, or the day of Qiyamah had to come to them بَغْتَةً, suddenly, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they would not even then be able to perceive what was happening. In other words, when this does happen, they won't even have a chance to say, oh, you know, we want to seek forgiveness and we want to go back and we want to do things differently. No, this will be the be-all and the end-all, and that's where it will all end. So the time for tawbah is now. The time to turn to Allah and repent is now. Let us not let this time pass us by. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, say, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I am calling you to Allah, ala basira, and I am doing so with basira, I am doing so with full insight. Right? This basira is not like our normal sight, but rather this is insight. This is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a person's heart, so the person's heart can see the truth of Islam. Ana wa man ittaba'ani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this basira, this insight, this opening of the heart and the chest, it is something that will happen to all those that choose to come onto the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa subhanallah, and glory be to Allah, wa ma ana min al mushrikeen, and glory be to Allah, and I am not from among the polytheists. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now saying, wa ma arsalna min qablik, and no messenger came before you, illa rijal al nuhi, except that they were men who were given wahi, nuhi ilayhim, wahi came to them, revelation came to them, min ahli al qura, and there were people from various qura, from various towns, various villages. Afalam yasiru fil ard, have you not traveled in the earth, Allah asked. فَيَنْظُرُوا, and if you do happen to travel in the earth, and subhanAllah, I think it's a perfect time for us to be doing this ayah. It's a time when all of us are going out here and there on trips, on journeys, be it a road trip or be it a flight, wherever you are going. And especially if you're going to a foreign destination somewhere, ponder on this ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, are you not going to travel in the earth? And if you do travel, then fayanduru, go out and look and see, كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, what was the outcome of those who disbelieved before them. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ. Allah says, and the دار الآخرة, the life of the unseen, or rather the life of the hereafter, right? The دار, the abode of the آخرة, of the afterlife, is خير, it is better for them. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا فَهُ. For those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Don't you but understand? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says تَعْقِلُونَ. And here when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about aql, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking about this form of intelligence that Allah gives to those whom He wishes to bless with hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلْ. It came to a point where the messengers, istayasa, they then started to feel like they were maligned, like they were forsaken. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا. And they thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left them. You know, they had, they were starting to feel down and sad, and they were starting to feel as though this was the end all, that this was the be all and end all. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when they felt this way, and when they felt like they were being maligned, and you know, this was now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had now left them to be on their own, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help wasn't going to be with them anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, at a time like that, that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help came to them, when they felt they were denied. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so He rescues whomsoever He wills. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And our punishment cannot be warded off from those who are mujrim, from those who are wrongdoers, from those who are criminals in the sight of Allah, those who even after the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them, one after the other, through the Nabi, you know, and after this Nabi took his time to explain to them about the oneness of Allah and the greatness of Allah, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over and above all of that, even sent miracles to consolidate this Nabi's Nubuwwah. Even on that point, they still did not believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so in that case, these people are mujrim, these people are sinners, they are criminals, they are wrongdoers. And for these people, la yuraddu ba'suhu. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ever be warded away from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from being amongst those who see the clarity of His signs coming to us day and night, and yet we turn a blind eye to it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and acknowledge them. May He make us from those who see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him. May He make us from those who not only thank Him verbally, but thank Him in action by following, by fulfilling the ibadah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard upon us, and by following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ. And that is the end of Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from one and all of us. And I really do hope that you enjoyed that surah, because really it's one of my favorite surahs, and I definitely did enjoy sharing it with you on air. It's now time for us to go for the last ad break of the hour. When we return, inshallah, we wrap up our program. This is the last and final segment of our program, Friday Fusion. And yes, I was saying that we wanted to discuss the masail of musafir, or the masail of safar, because indeed most of us will be traveling, going out and things like that. Some of us may be going on holiday as of next week already. But the time, I see, it took a little longer than I expected to do our Surah Yusuf to complete it, but nevertheless, that's okay. So what I'm going to do right now is, I'm just going to wrap up on a few, just two mas'alas. It's really important. And this is something that came through to me last night, a question, and this is what brought about this thought to me, that perhaps there are many other sisters with the same query. What makes us a musafir, first of all? So if we plan to go out of our town or city more than 77 kilometers, and we plan to stay in that locality, in that location, at that place for 14 days or less, then that makes us a musafir. Obviously, if when you leave from here, if you already have the intention that you're going to stay in that place for 14 days or more, then that makes you, from the moment you leave already, you are not a musafir because you know you are going to stay there for more than 14 days. So yes, it's more than 77 kilometers and less than 14 days. Now the query was as follows, right? The query wasn't really what makes you a musafir, but the query was, the sister would like to know that she started her travel, so she was going for Umrah, and when she reached Dubai, she left home. When she left home, she was clean. She was in the state of Tahar. But when she reached Dubai, she got her haid. So now she'd like to know, when she does become clean in Makkah Mukarrama or Medina Munawwara, will she be praying Qasr Salah or will she be praying full Salah? Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be a journey of Umrah. It could be any journey, right? You could be going to Cape Town, and perhaps on the way you left home and you've reached halfway, you've reached Bloemfontein, and now when you reach there, you get your haid. So what's the ruling when you actually do get to have a husal in Cape Town? What will the ruling be? Will you be performing qasr or full salah? So the ruling is as such that when you do become clean and when you do take your husal, even though you may not have, you may have come to that place in a state of haid, then you will still be able to read Qasr Salah from the time you become clean, right? So the ruling is that if you do start your journey, or at least you didn't leave home while you were in the state of haid, but along the way you did get your haid, then when you become clean, while you are still on your journey and you do take your ghusl, then you will be able to perform Qasr Salah. So the ruling is such for that person. The lady, on the other hand, that does not, so now she's on her return back home. So if this lady is on her return back home, and on the way, but it's like a really long journey. So on the way between her, won't be back home, it will be she's going also on a journey, but between her and between her destination, there is such a long distance that she will be able to be considered a musafir. Then too she will be able to, even though she's having a husal whilst on the journey still, she will still be able to reach Qasr Salah. But if when she reaches a short distance away from her place of wherever she's going on holiday, and it's a small distance, it's no more that long distance like from her house until there, it's like the last leg of the journey now, and now she becomes clean and now she takes her husal, so the distance is much shorter, then for that lady she will not be able to read Qasr Salah and she will have to read her full Salah. Now I know this was a very short time for me to explain a complicated mas'ala like that, so if you are a bit confused about the mas'ala, you are most welcome to drop me a message at 0614062688 or an email on za@radioislamlive.com, and inshallah I'll explain further. But unfortunately, as it goes every week, time runs out on us so quickly. Once again, it's time for me to love you and leave you. Until next week, same place, same time. JazakAllah khair to our engineer, Brother Muhammad Saleem. Please remember both of us in your special du'as. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.